Welcome to today's podcast. I'm featuring Hope Hodgson today. She's a powerhouse in the entertainment and fashion industries. As an accomplished DJ, Hope has energized high-profile events for teams like the Pacers and Indianapolis Colts. She's also a sought-after model gracing top magazines and working with numerous brands. Beyond her creative talents, Hope excels in business development, building lasting relationships through her work with elite organizations and nonprofits. Her passion for connection and her faith guide her every step. Join us as we dive into Hope's dynamic career and the inspiration behind her journey. Hi friends, you've made it to Karina Faith Diaries, your new go-to spot for real talk about the journeys that shape our faith. I'm Karina, your host, and I'm super excited to chat about real-life struggles, wins, and everything in between. This is all about honest conversations, lifting each other up, and the power of a relationship with Jesus. Whether you're here to learn, connect, or to get inspired, let's get started together. Welcome to Karina Faith Diaries, Hope. I'm so happy to have you here.
Thank you so much for having me, Karina. This is such an awesome opportunity and really an answer to prayer. So
that makes me blessed so
to
happy.
Be here.
Oh gosh, we are both. I'm so excited to have you here. For the people who don't know who Hope Hodgson is, can you introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about you and where you come from?
Absolutely. So my name is Hope Hodgson. In Indianapolis, you might also know me as DJ Hope Flows. I am from Indiana. I grew up over in the east side of Indianapolis around 42nd and Emerson. So grew up here, went to North Central High School, and around high school age is around the time I transitioned out of Indianapolis, but made my way back. So
okay. Yeah. So did you grow up in a Christian family, or what was your dynamic in your family?
I did. So both of my parents were believers from the time I was born, really since the time that they had been together. My father was a youth minister was working as a counselor at the time for the youth ministry. Mm-hmm. And one of his members of the group was my mom. And so later in life, they reconnected and were married. So
okay. Yeah. So do you have any siblings?
I do. I have an oldest brother, Jonah, a brother, Wesley David, and a sister, Charity.
Okay.
So I'm the youngest of four, even though I don't like to claim the youngest as my title. I do have three older siblings.
I love that. So was the dynamics growing up like you guys would go to church a lot, or are you always involved?
Yeah. So I think from a very young age, my mom was volunteering in the nursery at East 91st Street Christian Church here in Indiana. And so from birth, I was really at East 91st Street going to church. We had youth groups a few times a week. Mm-hmm. I was in a musical group called Jam, Jesus and Me. So that was another day of the week as well that we would practice and have rehearsals for performances.
So singing? Were you singing?
Singing, like dancing. It was more of a musical that the church put together, the youth put together once a year, twice a year. Uh-huh. And we would just welcome everyone from the community and the church itself, which East 91st Street's a pretty big church. So it was a little overwhelming as a child.
But
we would do just like songs and dances and different things that had a message about God and just how that intertwined with the life of youth back then.
Yeah. I love that. So do you feel like your passion for music kind of came from there, or?
Absolutely. So even if it wasn't a more traditional or conservative way of being in music, I think the church is really what started my foundation of music. I was doing handbell choir before I could really read music or read, probably, for that matter. But so I was getting to just experience, I think for me, my parents really wanted us to just have some purpose in serving mm-hmm. at the church. And so I was plugged into a lot of different areas, whether it was in the youth group stuff where I would help like plan activities and was a big part of, or it was on the musical side where we would get to do some of the performance.
Okay. Yeah. So do you feel like are you grateful for your dad's being able? I'm asking this because I used to not want to force my kids to go to church. And then there was mm-hmm. this part of me that was like, oh, this needs to come from them. But then in the Bible, it tells you that we need to show them that, or what is it? What is the verse that says, show your children the way to go. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They will. Yes. So how do you feel about this? I mean, was it always joyful to go, or did you have any bitter feelings about your dad wanting to?
Absolutely. So I think that came and went with different times and seasons yes. of life. I think when I was very young, I didn't really know the difference, and getting to be with a community of younger kids who was kind of like-minded, I enjoyed that so much and I was grateful for it. One of the things I kind of left out, I was homeschooled until around high school ages when I was full-time into public schooling. And I think that gave me a little bit of just socialization, and thankfully it was socialization with people who had good values or morals. So I think
that's good.
At the end of the day, it was a great thing. I think there was times in my life, probably middle school and some in high school, where my parents had to drag me out of bed to get me to go, because I was always either working or, you know, playing soccer. So it was a busy schedule to fit in. And I think just as time went on, it was kind of a love relationship that had frustrations of just timing and feeling like it was an obligation to go.
Oh, I bet. Yeah, absolutely. It's so hard because kids, they want to have their way and they think that they know everything. And as parents, we're like, we need to do the right thing. But then again, how far to push is just always a challenge. So
absolutely. Yeah, I think my mom had a similar mindset to, you know, what you stated earlier, where she just believed if she put it in our hearts early on in our lives, mm-hmm. that it would always be something that whether I went off and traveled the world or did whatever I did, it was always in my heart. And that was going to be something that would stay with me foundationally. Mm-hmm. So
tell us a little bit about your testimony. How did you find your faith for your own?
I will try to summarize that as best as possible. I think for me, probably when I really started to find faith on my own was once I left Indianapolis and was kind of outside of my comfort zone. Like, you know, I had mentioned before, going to church 3 or 4 times a week even was pretty much natural. And so even just being in a different city where that's definitely not the normal, and you're really just put in a situation where if you need it to stay afloat, I think it's what matters and is a necessity. And when I realized, oh my goodness, I can't just read my Bible on my own and pray on my own, like I have to get up and go to church and I still have to be serving God in what I'm doing in each relationship or person I'm meeting or client I'm working for, it's an everyday decision. And so it's not going to church even once a week or making a commitment to that, it's really making, you know, a commitment in daily life. And I don't feel like I had really known to make that commitment or how much I needed it personally until probably, this is so horrible, I want to say I was 24 is around the age, but it's a long experience. I mean, I think every day I see how much more I have to have God in situations. And in my career especially, I just think where I was when I was a kid had a very much more mindset of thinking I would be able to accomplish a lot of things and like knowing if I worked hard, I'd get something. And now it's more of this, like God brings us what he wants us to do when we have the heart and the mindset that aligns with that. And so I think, you know, for a lot of people, it's hard to make that decision for yourself until at least your brain's mature to the point of you're coming to, you know, more realizations of yourself and even of maybe your family or, you know, just your community and how that has affected your mind and what you've put your faith in or your values in. Mm-hmm. I think when we take a step back older, the older we get, it's easier to see that. So I think for my mid-20s, it was just like, okay, I know that I've always been living for the Lord, but this is the decision that I know I can't live without. So...
So was there a specific situation that happened that made you realize that, or was it just a combination of things? Or?
It was a combination of things. One being I was living in Miami at the time by myself and had just had an incredible season with gigs and work, had been playing with a volleyball team that I had gotten involved with and really enjoyed that and everything. I found a church group that I really liked down there. So everything really just seemed like it was just going perfect. Mm-hmm. And towards the end of that season, unexpectedly, my appendix ruptured and I was rushed to the hospital. And it was just really realizing like how alone I was out of state, out of my comfort zone. And it was just like, I knew God was with me. Otherwise, I know I wouldn't be here today. It was a very touch and go situation. I was trying to be strong and didn't think my appendix was having problems, but it actually ended up rupturing. And so there was a period of time where I was in like a medical induced type coma. Mm-hmm. And after coming to and realizing just like how scary it was that I had been in that situation alone and was like, how did I get through this? And the only answer for me was God. Mm-hmm. And I think too, that's also kind of what led me back to Indianapolis in a way, was more just knowing like our disciples are who's around us every day and who we're touching on a daily basis and weekly basis. And it's not, you know, for me, it was my family here, friends here that I wasn't getting to invest as much time into or really get to share as much of the things that God was sharing with me in those times. And I think that God really just used, unfortunately, that situation to show me that my community wasn't going to be in Miami or in New York. So I think that was a major part of it. And then I had made a commitment during off seasons, just because I'm sure as you're familiar with in the fashion world, there's just so much superficialness and there really just gets lost in some of the best people. And so for me, it was just very important that I tried to keep what I valued close. And I think it got to a point where I still valued those same things, but I felt like my lack of community surrounding that did, I just wasn't, my cup wasn't getting filled up in those ways. And so during off season, instead of staying in that area or traveling, you know, on a vacation, I would try to go to Haiti or go to Costa Rica or just go on. There's different places I went in the United States to just a community that was less fortunate and somewhere that would, you know, kind of remind me that that wasn't the world.
Yeah,
that was just a small bubble that I was in. And so that kind of helped me stay in the industry full time for a long time, was just getting those breaks away, I think.
Were those mission trips that you would go on or by yourself? Or
so, yes, most of them were all mission trips, or one of the groups I went with was not necessarily a faith-based organization, but they were all believers, and so they would call them vision trips.
Oh,
but
nice.
It was just, you know, we would go into, in Haiti, we would be going into Port-au-Prince, flying into there, and we would work in an orphanage with a group of children. And so that was just kind of like my grounding place, as I liked to say.
That's amazing. I do think that going to see less fortunate places, and I'm from Brazil originally, so I, you know, I see a lot of poverty in there. It really does make you realize how lucky we are, really, how blessed, you know, because this is a bubble. Like, very few people live like we do. So I think that's so wonderful that you realize that at a somewhat of an early age, too, that that was important to you.
Absolutely.
To go see that, you know.
I don't know if I realized it, uh-huh. but I think it was, that's what I knew filled me up. Uh-huh. When I went there, I came back more content and I came back more grateful. And, you know, it was just not focusing on the things I didn't have in those situations, because in that industry, you are surrounded by so many people who have wealth and put that on such a pedestal that if that's not what you have, then what you have must be worthless type.
Yeah.
And so it's really realizing, well, even if I am getting these jobs or making this amount of money, those things weren't satisfying me at all. And so my dad would think it was a love for adventure, but it was more just needing my soul filled and going to those places where I felt like their hope was so easily seen that it was from God because they didn't have anything else.
Yeah.
So it was just a place where I could go see, okay, God exists everywhere and anywhere, whether he's accepted or not, he exists there.
Yes.
And so I think the more that I embraced it, it became a realization.
Oh, gosh, I love that. Okay, so did you ever walk away from God through your years of, like, modeling and DJing, or, like, in the beginning of your career or at some point in your life?
I wouldn't say that I ever walked away from God. I think back to what you said earlier. I had parents that prayed strong prayers over my life and so for important. My future. And knowing that always, I might have made poor choices, but I never, like, there was always a conscience. I've never felt like God's not been with me. And so I think the times that I have chosen my pride or my ego or, you know, my self work ethic over just trusting in God, I've definitely been humbled before.
I know exactly how you feel.
And so I think for me, that was a big part of it. Yeah, I think there's just a lot that goes into that. But back to, you know, before I had really made the commitment for my faith to be mine, it was a roller coaster of emotions. Like, I think, like, a lot of relationships are before there's marriage, and even when there's marriage, and it's not necessarily the relationship that is negative. It's, you know, what you're putting in to bring it to where it needs to be. And so for me, it wasn't that I was walking away from God ever. I think frustrations and certain things would cloud judgment or, you know, make me question myself, or even if, you know, a certain gig might provide a higher platform, is that something that should help me negotiate certain values that I had already put in place? And so I think a lot of different things, especially in my modeling career, I really prayed probably once I had seen as much evil as there was in it later on, but just seeing what God could use me for in that, in modeling, helped me, and not so much focusing on what God wanted me to stay away from in modeling.
Okay.
And so I think, like, there was choices, you know, that came about that I would make differently now. But I would never say I've fell away from God, or, you know, I think my relationship has really continued to just grow stronger in the Lord.
Yeah, that's good. I feel this. I can relate to you in that sense because I did have like party years that I was heavily partying, but I never really, I would always pray, you know, at the end of the night. And which is interesting because a lot of people, I feel like even pastor kids would walk away at some point because of, you know, things that happen in life and then they would come back to it. So that's why I asked that. I was just curious and I feel like we have the same, you know, that in common. So let's back up a little bit. How did you start with the modeling and was it something just... How did that happen in your life?
So modeling was really never even a thought of mine. I wouldn't even say I cared about like clothing when I was a child. I was a very like sports driven, competitive nature kid. Put a lot of value in my relationships with my older brothers. So getting to spend time with them and run around and be in nature and, you know, going in the creeks and the ponds was more my jam than, you know, the modeling scene. I played soccer through all of middle school and high school and had been, you know, around junior year, you started talking to some colleges and was given verbal promises of playing. And unfortunately, I actually, my junior year went on, or going into my senior year, went on a whitewater rafting trip and shattered part of my knee cap and ended up having to get cortisone injections and just all sorts of things that no longer made soccer enjoyable or the goal anymore. And so going from that mindset, I had always had people tell me to model just being tall, but I wasn't built. I was very muscular at the time.
Really?
And so I just didn't even really see myself in that world. And then going into my senior year, realizing that soccer wasn't going to be what paid for college anymore, I kind of started rethinking some things and going back to the drawing board. And I remembered I had talked to my dad just about what I was going to do just to pay for college because I, you know, my family, I was the youngest of four and they had tried to help my siblings with school where they could, but my mom wasn't working at the time. So it was kind of, I knew I was responsible for my tuitions. And so when soccer wasn't an option anymore, I started just thinking and exploring other ideas. I was working a few different jobs and one of them had suggested that I get into modeling and I'd shut that down completely. And then fast forward to senior year, I was going for my senior pictures and my parents, I came back with the order form and they saw how much it cost and they were just like,
you're not doing it.
I think you can do without pictures of yourself senior year. And so I had just researched different photographers to find a cheaper rate. And with my dad's help, and we had found a photographer who was shooting, but they shot for a modeling agency. So I think my dad or I called them and just talked to them and told them that I was trying to get some senior pictures done. And, you know, they said they didn't really do that at the time. But I just went to an open call. This is in 2009. So I went to an open call and started working with Helen Wells Agency back then. So that was probably my first, like, taste of modeling here in Indiana.
Okay. Yeah. That's so interesting how one thing leads to another. Right. Sometimes it's like a blessing in disguise.
Completely. Right? Completely. And even then, I didn't really necessarily want modeling as a career.
Yeah.
So I was cleaning a lot of homes in Carmel and Fishers and started like a cleaning company and was doing all these jobs while my, this is now going into my freshman year of college. And it was just, I felt like I was working really hard to go to school.
Yeah.
And so I had, you know, told my parents, like, I love what I'm doing. I still have my church community and my friends, and I don't get to focus on any of those things anymore, even when I'm living in Indiana, because I'm commuting to school and I'm working three jobs to pay for it. And so it just didn't feel like I was doing what I was supposed to be doing at the time. And then I just started praying about it. And my brother had reached out to me and was like, hey, I think you just need to take a break from school and work. It was the first semester of, you know, freshman year of school. And it was probably the second year of owning the cleaning company. So my brother just reached out. We went down to Miami, to Florida, and I walked in to a few different agencies. I didn't know that there was, like, you're supposed to set up meetings and whatnot. Oh, wow. But I just walked into a few different agencies, and that evening I drove home with multiple different contract offers.
Wow. Which
was pretty amazing. Crazy and unheard of at the time. But I just started praying, God, like, which contract do you want me to take? Because there's big names there. And at first it was just like I didn't even believe I was in that situation. So you almost, I don't know, it was like, well, go with the biggest and the best, because, like, obviously that's what God wants. So I just started praying, and I remember I was about to respond to an email, and I was, like, on the highway. My brother was driving. I'm on the highway, and I didn't know if this was the agency I was supposed to go with. My phone turns off, like, randomly, but the battery's full. Like, there was just all these signs. And so I ended up signing with Elite Model Management in Miami down at the time. And
amazing.
They were like, we would love to have you here for the season, but you'd have to be living down here permanently. And so at that point, I was still in school and was just like, I'm going to figure it out. So I went back to Indianapolis and had kind of handed over some of the companies I was working for and cleaning with. And then the other jobs I had, I put in my notice and let my professors know I was going to try to finish school that semester early. So I had gone and taken a lot of the exams and stuff and pre-worked ahead on courses. And I ended up moving down there just a couple weeks after that first trip down.
Wow.
And so moved to Miami in 2011.
Okay. Gosh, that's pretty quick, like, to get everything in order for it to happen.
Yeah, it was definitely a lot, and it was fast, but it was crazy too, because one of the first gigs that I ended up booking was out of the country, and I had never had a passport before. I had never really flown for anything other than traveling with my dad for his work type. And so I had just recently gotten a passport, and one of the first jobs I got, my agent was like, do you have a passport yet? And I'm like, it's on the way.
Wow, that's got to be pretty exciting. Where did you go?
Yes, the first job was Peru. So I did Peru Moda. It was Peru's Fashion Week in South America. So it was a very cool experience. They were very excited to have an American there. So it was a really cool experience. Just, again, getting to travel the country and do that on not my own, but in a way that was for work, or, you know, it was cool at a young age.
Yeah. I feel like, I mean, you've answered this already, that you really always kept a close relationship with God to a level. But I was wondering if it ever got into your head, like, I'm just so cool, or, you know, this is definitely what I want to do, because it is a environment that, like you said, all these beautiful things are flashing before your eyes. And I feel like it's so easy to get lost. Did you ever feel torn?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I think even before modeling, there were hiccups and things in the road that was really challenging, that I think God brought to my whole family before I was even doing those things. My brother had struggled with some different substance abuses, and it just really took a toll on my family as a whole.
Oh, I bet.
And so just kind of certain things that were brought up, you know, especially when I was young, where I was questioning, you know, why this would happen if there's a God. And so I think that kind of happened early in life, where it was never going to be a question again of if there was a God. I think, like I said, I feel like my relationship has had its weak points and its strong points in my journey, for sure. But I think with each weak point, you have the ability or the opportunity to strengthen yourself or your relationship with God in a way. And I think really that's all of what life really is when we come to trials or certain roadblocks, it's when we need to have God's strength and how he can allow us to say, hey, you know what? I don't have the strength for this right now, God, but, you know, I'm putting this in your hands completely. And I think those times is when we see ourselves grow in our faith, in our mental strength, emotional strength. And I think, just being able to see my parents really go through different things and just the journey they had with each of us four children who were all very different. Just see how they handled it and really like go off of their faith in God and just relying on him even when it was those moments.
Yes. I love what you said about the trials, because one of my favorite verses is James, you know, consider it, I don't know the exact address, but consider it pure joy when you face trials of all kinds. And I've had some of my own that I completely agree with you. It's like, those are such special moments where you feel God so close, right? And it's, I mean, when we're happy, we don't look for him with the same intensity that we do when we are going through something. So it's, those are very valuable.
Absolutely. I think some of the times that I went through those things is when I realized, you know, the daily time with God is crucial for just survival in life, period. But I think that, you know, what you were saying, those trials that broke me down really were opportunities to show me that personally I am too weak to take on X, Y, or Z. But with God's strength, that's the only way I'm going to get through that. And I think that requires a strength in its own, just that mindset. And so like being able to pride yourself or take, you know, have confidence in the fact that you are always pushing to have a mindset like that is important for sure.
I agree. So tell me some of the jobs that you are most proud of, or some clients that you've worked with, or some of the things that you've done that you really, you know, take pride on.
Yes. Well, as far as from a working perspective, what I have taken pride in, I worked a lot with and still do with Procter & Gamble. So they have a lot of the major clients I was working with. Olay Face Wash, I have some commercials with that. John Frieda, Target, Macy's, Sears, Kmart.
Wow. So like your face on the actual brands and commercials? That's incredible. Yes.
So I was signed with Elite and then Ford. And so both of those would just have different relationships with certain clients. And so those opportunities kind of came through agencies that weren't necessarily in Indiana, but there was a lot of great opportunities. There still are. I think that doesn't necessarily look like a modeling or what you would think of as the fashion industry, but there's so much in the commercial and, as you know, social media marketing. And
that's not necessarily runway, like high fashion.
Exactly. Okay. I think modeling now looks totally different than it did back in the early 2000s, for sure.
Yeah, I agree. So for me and my industry being in somewhat of a similar, you know, industry, but we do a little bit of different things. I find sometimes difficult, or if a brief comes from a certain client or whatever that doesn't align with my values nowadays. And just as an example, I had some, like someone doing bra and everything, and it's actually really good stuff. Very modest looking and whatnot. But I'm just like, I don't want to be in a bra on my feet at this point in my life. You know, maybe 10 years ago I would have been, but, you know, working with the client, they were like, no, we want this to be super comfortable and you can talk about, because I like the product. So I'm like, is there a way that I can talk about it in my way? And I think that now, because social media advertising has been around for a while, clients are a little more okay with us directing ourselves in like the direction of we're going. How do you find this? Like, do you find sometimes there's offers that you're like, no, this totally does not align with me? Or
absolutely. I've had plenty and plenty and plenty of offers that don't align with my values. And I always try to look at, you know, would I be happy with this 10 years from now or 5 years from now? Like kind of what you said, you know, 10 years ago, you might have been okay with it, but now would you be? And making those decisions based on how you think your future self would feel, I think is...
That's huge. Right? I love that.
And I think as long as, you know, you're thinking of what your future self would care about, and that goes back to your morals and values. So if there's things that you have to put into question in your non-negotiables, then for me, it didn't fit in.
Yeah.
And I've always, and I think people say this, but I think it's important to say it. I feel like every job that I turned down that I wanted because I felt like God was telling me to, he would bring something else to fill it every single time. And it would be exactly when the time that I was like, okay, God, I'm just going to put my trust in you that this $20,000 check doesn't matter, whatever.
Exactly.
Like, it's got to be in your hands. And so I feel like every single time I did that, it might not have looked like the opportunity I thought it did, but God brought something else that fulfilled my heart at least in a more fulfilling way. And I think, again, as long as you go back to if your future self would feel okay with that. And I know personally, the growth I've had in 10 years is monumentous. So if I'm in 40 years or at 40, how am I going to feel? And what, you know, what things will have changed? But as long as that is still rooted around what I think God's telling us to do and how we're supposed to be living, then you have your answer.
I love that. And I just want to repeat that because I've actually never thought about it this way, but it's so important to, you know, to think about your future self. And like, that's what you said, goes back to your values. And sometimes in the heat of the moment, we are so enticed by making that quick buck or a huge paycheck, you know, and it's, is that going to pay for how you're going to feel about it 10 years from now? That's, I love that. Thanks for saying this. I'm going to use that rule of thumb too now as well. So how did you get into DJing then? That's a little bit of the modeling. How did the music get into it?
Yeah. So I think in a weird way, modeling and just the music industry or model acting in the music industry, they all kind of intertwined. So I think some of my first like real experiences being in a DJ environment was when I was in Miami and, you know, at certain events and just getting to see what music could do, because I had really only seen music in a very shelled perspective. I think, you know, my church was my first experience of music, and being in handbell choir and different things really kind of sheltered the way that I saw music. I, you know, at a young age was watching my parents praise God in church with their hands to the Lord. So it was always for me like that was worship music. I didn't even really like think of worship music as a part of the music industry. I had kind of separated the two in my head, I think. And so getting to see music and its power for, you know, to control a whole room or to energize a whole room really changed once I was in that environment. And seeing, you know, the people of influence that were in that room that were now being influenced by the music was kind of eye-opening for me. So
then you just started like...
That was just like the spark of the fire, I think, or the gasoline. But I didn't get into DJing until about 3.5 years, 4 years ago. I had moved back from Miami and had decided that, you know, if God had modeling for me, it was going to look a little different. I think mm-hmm. one of the things we were talking about earlier was just some of the things that were tough in modeling in mm-hmm. the industry. And I think one of the biggest things that, and I think it's still one of the biggest issues, is consistency. Mm. Because, you know, in the fashion industry, you have such a push to keep up with season trends and styles and, you know, what body types are even
in style or trending. That's crazy.
Yes. Which, or hairstyles. And there's so many different things that you're trying to educate yourself to keep up with that are supposed to be changing. At the same time, the consistency of, you know, what you're having, what you're putting yourself through to go through those changes, mm. whether it's mental or emotional or physical, I think the consistency just was never there. I think there's so much traveling that has to happen and just, you know, you don't have a set schedule or a 9 to 5 and that seems like a great, tempting life until you're living in a suitcase 24/7. But I think just the consistency, I had gotten to a point where I wanted to make my schedule more, and I didn't know what that looked like, but I just started praying. And around that time is when my appendix ruptured, and I had decided that, you know, God might be calling me home. And there was some other family things that had come up, and it was just clear to me that, you know, Indiana was where I was supposed to be back at. And so in 2017, I started looking at houses in Indianapolis. And in 18, I bought a house downtown and went to work, was working a regular job here in Indy doing business development for a construction company, Court Builders.
Wow. And completely different, completely like 180. Different. Yes.
Absolutely. The whole time I was modeling, I was studying for a business degree.
Oh, good.
So I had that as a fallback always, but I was still working with Helen Wells here in Indy and then Ford in Chicago. So my boss would give me time to, you know, if I got a gig that I wanted to take, I was able to
work that in
a way. And so it was still kind of feeding that fire for me of being an entrepreneur and whatnot. And then I think in 2020 is really where it was like, obviously everything shut down. Yes. And I think social media was great for the models that had really capitalized on that prior. Mm-hmm. I don't think I had as much as I should. So modeling in other ways had just totally shut down. You can't go shoot a movie with a face mask on or do
runway shows. Like, people are not even going to the mall.
Face wash commercials with a face mask on. So it was just, it was a lot fast, and I realized, okay, the mission field has changed, but I think God also kind of gave me a vision of how the mission field would change throughout life and how I felt called to some type of mission work when I was very young, and I didn't. My grandfather was a missionary, and so in my eyes, that was more going and being somewhere and, you know, touching a community that had nothing or, you know, was in a political situation where God was never spoken of. And I always thought that's what mission work looked like. And I remember in high school age feeling like God was really telling me, like, you're gonna do mission work. And I remember, like, kind of questioning God, like, you know, I didn't think that was for me. I had heard stories of my grandfather doing it, but I also wanted to make some money. Like, it was just, I wasn't sure what that was going to look like. And then it wasn't until later, it was actually, I was in New York for Fashion Week one year and was in a room with a group of models and was just kind of going around. We're more so telling our biographies, if you will, than a testimony. But I had shared part of my testimony and just sitting around the room with a girl from Germany and Russia and, you know, all these different parts of the world. And we're sitting there talking, and God just, like, brought it over me where it was like, you're doing mission work. You're a missionary all over the world doing what you're doing. Yes. Right. And so it was just like, it was a very freeing moment of just being like, okay, God, I didn't know. Like, I wanted to be in your will so badly, and I was. Mm-hmm. Not because it looked like the path that I thought it would, but because I was choosing him daily. I wanted to be his image in whatever I was doing. Mm-hmm. And so I think that kind of showed me, no matter what I'm doing, yes. and even now, like, yes. God's going to use me in a way that he has planned that. Really, I probably have no idea exactly what it's going to look like. So
no, I totally get it, because this, what we're doing right now is that, you know, it's, I started as, you know, doing fashion and beauty too. And I never knew it was going to be my actual business, full-time business, let alone, it's almost like a family business at this point. And then how he planted in my heart something like this too, which what we're doing here is reaching out to people, you know, whether people who already know God, or maybe somebody's going to stumble through this video and hear your story and identify somehow. You know, we have so many preconceived notions about how God's going to do his work. And we, you know, just being instruments and showing up every day is mm-hmm. what we need to do. And I've learned that throughout the years too. So tell me a little bit about, what is your routine with God? Like, how do you have a time that you spend with him? Is it something that you do every day? Is it a intentional, like, walk us through that a little
yeah. bit. So again, I think that's kind of been a growing thing for me, and just figuring out what works best for me. Mm-hmm. I think for me personally, in my 30s now, I don't even feel like I can start my day without God. I just mm-hmm. feel like if I get out of bed, the first time I pick up the phone, it's going to be a negative call, mm-hmm. and or just something. Like, I can't tell you how many times I'll put it off my morning devotional, and then something hits me out the door, and it's just yeah. regretting that, and really, like, realizing where I am in my relationship with God. And I think that is what has given me freedom to just really embrace him anywhere and everywhere. So putting him at the first of my day, I try to do some morning devotional, a quick, you know, devotional that I'll read, different ones, and then just prayer. And it doesn't stop when I close my devotional. Mm-hmm. It really is throughout the drive. For me, I think prayer and praise go hand in hand. And so mm-hmm. I try to find days or times throughout the day just to give God praise, whether mm-hmm. it's in nature, which it's typically for me. So I try to take, you know, just like a nature walk every day and find things in nature to be thankful for that I know don't have explanations, or yeah. you know what I mean? Yes. Just like his creation, and just getting to see the majesty of that, I think, allows for worship in our hearts and praise in our definitely. Hearts. And I think for me, that when we live with, or when I live with a heart full of worship and praise for God, of how glorious he is, it just makes life such a more enjoyable on a day-to-day basis.
I totally agree. Yes, I love that. That is a definitely a different way of worshiping that doesn't involve necessarily music and hands up, but it's, yeah, worshiping right. his creation is a way to worship him and praise him. I love that. So how do you reconciliate, like, being in the music industry? And I want to talk a little bit about, how do you feel like music influences people in the good and in the bad too?
Yes. So kind of what we've been saying, you know, I think early on I had an attraction to music, and I think a lot of people do. Something that I love to see even now is when, you know, fans are walking into the stadium or at events, it's typically the babies or the children who will, like, come up and start bouncing to a beat mm-hmm. first, where, you know, they don't even know the words to the music yeah. or even probably recognize the song. But it's just the fact that there's power in music and rhythm. And I think that a lot of it for me relates back to, at a young age, my mom would always say, like, make a joyful noise for the Lord.
Oh.
And so it was just always like, you know, what I was doing, whether it was praising God or how I was speaking to my parents, like, it had to be in a way that I was exuding joy. And that's not to say that was 24/7 by any means, but just like finding certain things and like turning that into a song. So I'd like find myself making up songs or, you know, just little things. I think even now as an adult, like I'll sing the songs for the verses or the books of the Bible, like just to memorize.
That is a great way of memorizing verses.
And there's just so much power in music for, I mean, I think generations and years, like I'll play a song that I haven't heard in 20 years and I'll, crazy enough, remember lyrics and, you know, part of the melody. And I'm just like, oh, this is crazy. So to see that there is such a big power in music, I think it's kind of a scary thing for me. And this being only my second year, I'm still trying to navigate that and figure out what that looks like. I think, thankfully, my boyfriend kind of jokes with me about it because he's a DJ too, but I'll like make playlists and do different things. And, you know, one of, I think you were had mentioned like the philosophy behind the playlists that I make. And, you know, I try to pick songs that are trending or hot now, but getting out of those songs before it gets to the part of, you know, something that I don't agree with.
And like explicit parts
profanity
and things like
that. Certain things. And so I'll like make cue marks on my song and I'll put all capitalized, get out now.
Oh, wow.
So it'll be
that's
like
pretty
just,
smart.
Yeah, you know, there'll be highlights and good things of that music that I think, you know, it's important, it's popular, it's trending. I think that that's kind of what can captivate people's attention and then leading that into other music, other opportunities, that just becoming a platform. For me, every single gig I've done and like one of the biggest reasons I feel like I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing right now is I haven't pursued any DJing gig to this day. Like
it all comes to you. Or
just praying the simple prayer of like, God, like the opportunities that you want for me, I want. The opportunities you don't, I don't. And the ones that do come to me that I'm not supposed to have, I pray for the wisdom to decipher between the two. And that's been something that I did in modeling that I kind of carried over into DJing because, you know, as we mentioned earlier, the industries really do kind of intertwine and there's just a very blurred line that I think can be made if you aren't careful enough.
Yeah. So how did the Super Bowl happen? That's a huge event. And
yeah. So that was actually probably the first major gig I even really booked. But I had reached out to a modeling agency I was working with, actually, just to see I was going to be in town for Super Bowl. My boyfriend, DJ No, had a gig down there as well. And so I just reached out to a modeling agent to let them know I'd be in town and was going to grab coffee with her and just, you know, chop it up and see if there was anything going on. Because like I said, those typically go hand in hand in the industry. And she emailed back and she was like, oh, you know, I think there might be a few modeling opportunities. But she had followed me on Instagram and she had just seen that I had started to dabble in music. And so she asked if I'd be interested in her putting my name out for some of that stuff. And I said, sure, of course. And just probably 2 days later, had gotten a call from a talent management company in Arizona who let me know that Quavo was going to be performing at the Super Bowl the day before through some of the different events and parties and asked if I could DJ and open for that show.
Wow.
So, yeah, it was an awesome opportunity and kind of, again, it wasn't me looking for a DJing gig mm-hmm. by any means, but really getting to just allow God the reins to give
to
me.
Move. Yeah. I love what you said that about letting him, you know, asking him directly, like, I want what you want for me and I don't want what you don't want. I have this prayer too that I come to him with my requests, but I also finish with, but your will and not mine. And I also say, if this is not for me and I'm clearly desiring it, take it away from my heart because, mm-hmm. you know, we have human hearts and we right. desire things, but I do not want to desire anything that is not for me. So I try to always tell him, but your will, like I want what mm-hmm. you want, definitely for me. So is there like you put your faith out there for everybody. So has there ever been any conflict of like booking a venue or someone saying, oh, I don't want you to mention anything about your faith or anything like that?
Yeah, I think, I mean, I've had a few different clients who didn't go with me because I'm assuming this is, I can't even really necessarily say, but, you know, I had sent them my website and on mm-hmm. social media because they had just heard from referrals of other clients. But once they had seen, you know, I pretty boldly put mm-hmm. scripture on my website and across my social media platforms. And for me, I think I'm more surprised when people don't, especially nowadays, like just in the modeling industry, especially the more times I said no, the more times I was told no. Mm. And so I think I was expecting it even more than DJing. And to my surprise, everything that, like I said, I haven't really pursued anything at all necessarily, and I definitely haven't pursued anything I didn't think God wanted for me. Mm-hmm. So I feel like the last 2 years, it's just been an overwhelming sense of like, this is what I'm supposed to be doing. These are from God. This is, and you know, that might change after someone hears this. But for me, I pray what you pray, and I pray that mm-hmm. God takes whatever desire and places that on my heart mm-hmm. and that he removes the desires of my flesh away because, mm-hmm. you know, it's so easily to get sucked into that competitive mindset where you want to win when
so easy
what you're winning isn't even a prize.
Mm-mm. In comparing too, I don't know if you've ever, I mean, I've experienced that so much and I constantly have to remind myself, you know, somebody else's path is not my path and I have a different purpose here than you do, you know, mm-hmm. and so it's always going to look different. And just because it looks so beautiful and popular on Instagram, it does not mean that it's great, you know, so it's just like, it's a constant thing. And I do feel like this comes with maturity, first of all, but also mostly important, it comes with a relationship with God, an intimate relationship, right?
Yes.
That we're pursuing daily.
Absolutely. Like, I think just constant prayer and that longing for the relationship, communication with God. It's not just, you know, you have to can only pray to him once a week. It's mm-hmm. every job that comes, every client that mm-hmm. comes, every opportunity that comes, before every meeting, before every podcast. Yes. Like, it's just allowing God the ability to move in everything mm-hmm. and, you know, seeing what he does do as it being a move in a positive direction, no matter what that looks like. So the no is a yes.
Yes.
You know,
yes, you. Absolutely. and also all the glory for him too, because we are where we are. We have what we have and it's all because of him.
Absolutely.
I don't see it any other way of, I wouldn't even want anything that, like we said, that he wouldn't want for us. So
absolutely.
That's amazing. I'm just so excited. I'm so happy that you came. And so as we're kind of trying to wrap it up here, do you have a favorite scripture that you go to?
I do. It's actually kind of how I got my DJing name, also the background on my phone, which is always handy, but it's Romans 15:13. It's, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit.
I love that. And that's where you got your handle.
Yes, it is. So it's DJ Hope Flows, but the way it's written is hope. And then there's a line and it's flow. So it's hope overflows is really where it came from.
I love that. Where else can we find you on social media?
On all social medias, it's DJ Hope Flows. Instagram is probably where I spend the majority of my social media time.
But yes.
Facebook, Twitter.
Okay. So is there any advice for people who are wanting to get, you know, especially girls wanting to get into the space? You know, you have done so much, like you're doing DJing for Indiana Fever, which is really high out, you know, right now it's very popular. What, like some words of wisdom for whoever's starting?
I think really just setting rules or guidelines for yourself before anything that you pursue. And for me, it was just a list of non-negotiables, that things that I wasn't willing to compromise or sacrifice. And then really just using that to pray for what I was looking for next. For me, even it began with the representation I was seeking. I just praying and asking God to show me his will and who that needed to be. I think prayer has to happen. It's an inconsistent and messy world. So having a great mother agency is crucial. And having a mother agent that knows what market you want to be in, not necessarily what they want to try to fit you into or what the industry and culture might want you to be modeling or DJing even. It's more so what you want to be doing, and just having clear objectives of that, I think, sets for an easier beginning.
I totally agree with you. Just from the standpoint of having, you know, your agent back you up for, hey, I know that this is not Karina's vibe. So they usually will run with me just for the sakes of it. But we know, like, having that is so priceless.
Absolutely.
Like your values, they know your values, they know what you stand for. Just
absolutely.
Making that clear.
I joke with my agencies sometimes, but they know my non-negotiables. And sometimes I'm like, if you get it and you know I don't want it, don't even send it my way. So, I think just really sticking to what you feel God has put in your heart early on, and whether that's writing it down or just making friends and family aware of it to hold you accountable is crucial.
I totally agree. Okay. Well, I hope everyone enjoyed this conversation. I sure did, and I have a lot of takeaways from it, but we're going to leave Hope's socials down in the, if you're watching us on YouTube, it will all be in the description box. Make sure that you're liking this video and spreading the word there. So we're starting this project and we're hoping that this reaches as many people as we can possibly reach. Would you like to close us in prayer? Or?
Sure.
Okay.
Absolutely.
So let's do it.
Lord, we just thank you so much for this opportunity, God. I just thank you for Karina and just for her heart and her trust in you, Lord. I think that our willingness to just take the step in your direction is the one that is all that we need to motivate us in a whole motion. I pray that you would just bless her for her heart and opening her doors to me. I thank you for just listening to your voice and calling and to setting this podcast and into motion. I thank you so much for answering my own prayers over the last year and for allowing this to be an opportunity that I could share my faith and my testimony with my work as well. I pray that everyone who hears this and listens to it is just encouraged and motivated and is just reminded of your great love and your support for us behind the scenes, even when we don't know it, Lord. We just thank you and praise you for all that you do for us, and we pray that we can just be a light and a mission for you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you so much for joining us today, friends. I hope you guys are walking away feeling encouraged and maybe even a little lighter. Make sure to subscribe and drop a comment or review so we can keep this faith-filled community growing. Share this episode if it touched you or if you know someone who needs to hear it. Let's spread the love. I'll see you next week on Karina Faith Diaries. And until then, stay strong, stay kind, and keep the faith.